Open up to 2 Corinthians 10. What? Well, I'm not going to have a long sermon. I think God said enough. Hallelujah. But I want to talk just a little bit more, and then we're going to shut down. But to talk a little bit more of the reality of what God shared with me when I was praying about this young man and voting that's coming up, you know. The natural mind does not have the ability to come up with any answers for mankind. If you haven't figured that out by now, they have not come up with the right answer for mankind. They are so stupid. What they do is they want to put more laws on us, thinking that that's going to help curb violence. Well, you know what? God put up with the nation of Israel for what, some 490 or almost 500 years. God put up with them, but he had to give them a law to let them know what was right from what's wrong. And did you know that even though he gave them the law, he knew they couldn't keep it? So we have lawmakers today that says, well, we got this thing happen, so let's put a law to restrain us from that. As if mankind has an answer for a mind that cannot be contained. If the mind is not ruled by the Word of God, anything can happen. They're always saying, well, how can this happen? He was such a nice boy. You look back in the past of all these wackos and they either say they were raised incorrectly or they don't know what happened because they were the nicest thing on 2 feet. But they don't know that we're living in a fallen world. They don't have that concept. And as a result of that, that mind can be influenced by anything. Case in point, this last young man, my heart just sank when I heard that he went through, and God spoke to me and he said, you know what? He said, you haven't seen the last of it. And he says, the church needs to start doing their job and getting involved with what God's called them to do and get back into the people and quit trying to clothe themselves sumptuously and start thinking of the needs of their people. And especially how they think. Can you imagine? We just focus in on that one young man, but can you imagine how many minds are out there that have not been revealed yet? That have a demon tormenting them and coming after them, and how important it is for the church, not just our church, but any church, to rise up and take the responsibility of the fullness of God, the gospel, and start teaching them people. And start being effective where they're at. I think too many people are too long ranger in their thinking. And as a result, you'll see these little churches pop up all over. And then you see next week and they're all vacant. Well, what is that? It's just a rebellion. It's just a society that doesn't know how to really face the answers of everything. When you go right to the Word of God, and we've got a sound place to find answers. And what the church has failed to understand very, very vividly, failed to understand that the last thing that needs working on us as believers is the saving, the salvation of our soul. Now, what's that all about? How many of you have been born again? How many of you believe that you're the righteousness of God in Christ?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many of you know that since how you're born again, you're the righteousness of God in Christ and you're a child of God? How many of you know the present tense, your soul needs deliverance?
Yep.
Oh, I've got my soul under control. Oh, you do have, huh? I'm going to tell you what. You get you in the right position in the most opportune time and put some pressure on you, you'll find what you're made of.
Yeah.
I'll never forget Brad Lane telling me a story, a pastor friend of mine telling me a story. He had this big Cadillac. And he's driving along and he's looking for a place. And they get on these back roads and it's dirt. They get stuck. And they can't move and he guns it and it just, wheels are spinning. And so Brad tells his wife to get behind the wheel and he'll get out and push behind the car. And he says, as I'm pushing now, you just dis-ease on the pedal. He says, because we're going downhill a little bit, so that's to our advantage. And I think I can get shove the car to make it go. And she says, okay. So she gets behind the wheel. He gets right behind her and he starts pushing and he said, now! And she gunned it. And all the mud and everything under that wheel came right up the front of him. And he said, here he was a pastor, been saved for many years, and he couldn't believe what came out of his mouth. There's a part of us we seem to forget that's still living, but we're to reckon it dead, and that's water baptism. All of a sudden, Brad said, his wife opens the door and looks back, and he says, I don't know where that came from. And he was telling me, Jan, he says, is that really in us? I said, well, we're to reckon him dead. That's why we have to reckon him dead. He's very much alive. You put him under the right pressure and you'll find out what part of you has a greater upper hand. The world doesn't got this revelation that James said. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Hebrews 10:39, who believe to the saving of the soul. 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. When your soul is set free, you've received the end of your faith in that area. Did you know that? Why? It's something's happening here. I like the cartoon illustrations when they got a little devil on one shoulder and a little angel on the other. And the guy in between is us and we're having to listen to both sides of the equation. And so one you give up to the most is the one you're going to obey. Romans 6 tells us very clearly, whom you present yourself a slave to, the slave you are. And we're looking for a devil with a pitchfork and a forked tongue and everything. He appears as an angel of light. He doesn't walk into this facility with a pitch, horns on his head and a pitchfork in his hand and a tail on him. Right away, every one of us in the building would get a clue. You're the devil. No, he appears as an angel of light. He cloaks himself. And that which seems to look good. And why does he do that? Because really, technically speaking, he has no authority on this planet for the church. Now, the church seems to think he does, but he doesn't. But he has to deceive us to get mankind, to relinquish his authority for him to operate through it. This young man hadn't had a chance for anyone to tell him how to deal with his thinking. Now they turn around and say, talk to your children. Parents, get a hold of your children. Talk to them. You know, that's the best advice I ever heard. I thought somebody would scream out, we need more gun laws. No, somebody stood up and said, we need to communicate with our children. We need to find out what they're thinking. We need to sit down with them. That's the best advice I ever heard somebody say. That came off the TV set. Can you imagine that? People, I'm going to tell you something. More laws is not the answer. They don't even enforce the laws they've got. What is the answer is for us to get into the face of each other and our children and start communicating and opening our hearts up and have what we call true koinonia, true fellowship. If there's things going on in your heart and mind, we can't have you come up here and just pray them away. You've got to get with somebody. You've got to confide with them and say, help me. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the devil knows that. For the weapons of the warfare of us are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that's what that unsaved mind does. It's driving against the knowledge of God. Well, I'll tell you what, I did see it in the spirit one day praying. I saw darkness start in the Middle East, and I'm seeing it spread. And so you're going to see Jesus rise up, and you're going to begin to see light expel that darkness. And it has to start here, how we think and whom we serve. A church, every church is the same. A church should not be begging for helpers. This church should team together. We should have so many people signed up for children's working that maybe we might get a chance to serve one day the year. But there's been a tremendous lack of understanding Scripture. That's why Tony Cook, when he shared what he shared up there about the church and the performance of it and everything, I was beside myself. I never realized the importance of the church. Carol was there. Carol, are you here this morning? Where's Carol? Yeah. Wasn't that awesome what he brought out in Ephesians? I never saw it. But you know what? God didn't design the church so that we have an opportunity maybe to visit it once in a while. We don't have a revelation that if you're just visiting the church and you're not an active member, that literally means that there's a part of you that is not considered the body of Christ. Does that mean you go to hell? No, that means you go to heaven alone. You don't share any rewards of the fruits of the operation of God while you're here. And I hadn't seen it that way, but in closing, which you probably want me to shut up anyway, go to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. I want to show you something. Just leave it for your thought processes, and if the Lord's willing, I'll come back and share it to you in a greater depth. But this is what Tony had shared with us, and when he did, me understanding it in the Greek, I was blown away by what he was saying. But basically, I go to Ephesians chapter 3. And go to verse 14. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven, notice this, part of our family is in heaven and earth is named. Wow. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. The Greek says, working in the inner man. Now watch this, catch this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to, now the translator put here the word comprehend, but it's actually the word apprehend. That you may be able to apprehend with all saints. No more long rangers. What is the width and the length and the depth and the heights. Wow. to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Well, actually, generations without end. So what he started in the church is going to continue throughout all generations without end. But notice what he said here. He said that we would know through the church the width, the length, the depth, and the height. And when Tony shared this with us, I was stunned because I'd never seen it myself. He said the width is the hospitality, the love for strangers, the accommodations, and the unity of performance, the work that is going on within the church. So the church has to have a width about it. It has to enlarge its understanding of how to be a church that's hospitable for strangers, for newborn babes, for unlearned, for those that are not mature, for the non-believer. A church has to have a hospitality about it. It is doing the same thing that God did by accommodating mankind. God coming down to our level, the incarnation. We always hear about that all the time, but God came down to our level. He made himself communicatable to us, people on earth. Are you following me? And for a reason, a church has to have that width about it. It has to have a hospitality about it. It has to have a revelation that you're an acting member in the body of Christ and you're involved somewhere in the church to be hospitable for somebody that needs it. And somebody failed to do their job over that young man's life in a church somewhere that could have prevented that. That's how I look at it. I don't give the church an out. The church is responsible for what happens on this earth. Not the devil, the church. We have power over him. We have power over the devil. You have power over the devil. We have power over the devil. He's not to run over you. The links. That's referring to evangelism, missionary work, outreach of your church. Get involved in being involved. We're supposed to give a missionary report here. That's what it's about. What are we doing overseas? What are we doing in other areas of the world? I like the depth, teaching, making disciples, mentorship, causing believers to grow up. And then the heights, prayer, praise, and worship. How people are praying and how they're connected with God and how they're worshiping God and praising God. And so we as a church, we got to get back to what is intended for the church. We as a family, we as members one of another, you and I together looking out for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you started out being an active member in the church and then you told God that you need to step down and get some things taken care of, see, you failed in your appointment with him. You need to get back to where you was, taking care of the house of God first, and he'll take care of your house. He has no pleasure in them that withdraw. We always find an excuse. Well, this happened. My toenail ached and whatever. You just don't understand. Yeah, I understand the devil. He'll keep you so preoccupied. You're lucky if you show up to church. Shut up, Jan. Hear the presence of God come in here and I give you a message like that. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did we take up an offering? Oh, good. I wasn't going to let you guys get out of here without paying for that presence. No. Just kidding. Just kidding. Take the tomatoes home. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in reverence. Father, I thank you so much for your people. Father, I think we need to be challenged to get back to that first love that we had for you, Father. I thank you so much for your presence being here. I pray that every one of us in this building will reverence that and reverence the word that has gone forth in respect of you. Not men, but you, Father. So this morning, if there be anybody here that wants to restore their walk with God, we want to pray for them. If they've never been saved, we want to be the one to lead them through the sinner's prayer and have them come on in. If they've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father, we would love to lay hands on them as the Spirit gives them the utterance. Father, whatever it is that they need, physical healing, Father, it's all here, Father. You've given it. You've left it as a legacy to the church. May they take advantage of that. And so with every head bowed, if you're here and you would like to respond to the altar in any one of those, feel free to step out and come forward. Anyone? Anyone, feel free to do that. Hallelujah. Don't hesitate. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 What you need, Chuck? Healing?
I don't know how I'm going to be like that. In 2013, just after I was getting ready to close the case, my arm, it's just exploded.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Forward. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There's another area of teaching that I'm going to be given to the church that I hadn't seen it before until I started asking questions about it. What I was seeing was correct. Did you notice that the early church, when we were praying for people and even the sick, was you guys aware that it said, as the elders prayed? Means there's more than one should be up here praying. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to start reaching out and looking for the testimony of those who have a good report in their prayer closet, their home. And when we have future altar calls, I want them up here with me. How do you know what you're gifted with until you start exercising it? And the Lord told me that there are many of my people in this body that are very gifted and they don't know what gifts they have. Hallelujah. So we need them. Having said all that, before we begin to pray, I'm going to dismiss you. Please exit quietly. Hallelujah, if you can. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your wonderful people. As they exit, may they go and do damage to the kingdom of darkness in their world. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You're free. Praise God.